Welcome to the T&D podcast brought to you by TomTom. We think you're trucking awesome. You deserve a trucking awesome app. That's why today we're excited to talk about the ultimate trucking companion, TomTom Go Navigation. With premium features designed to make every delivery a breeze, Go Navigation ensures you reach your destination efficiently and stress-free. Hello and welcome back to the Trucking Driver Podcast. I'm Doogie Rankin and I'm joined tonight by the one and only Niall Barker, who unusually is not in his truck cab, I'm led to believe.
No, I am at home tonight, which is a nice bonus.
Oh yeah, now we were going to record this the previous night, but on Sunday night we were joking about the good old Monday shift combination of a 15-hour day, 10 hours driving time and 9 hours off, a 15, 10 and a 9. And I think that's pretty much what you ended up doing last night, so we decided not to go ahead and attempt to record a podcast with you in the cab. So you ended up, Heather Gill, was it?
Yeah, yesterday was, I was basically just shunting all day yesterday and then, loading trailers, dropping trailers, doing this, that and the other, and then finally got my run for today on my back and ran up the road and wasn't quite a 10-hour drive, but I did slither into Heather Gill on 14 hours and 51. So at that point, it was a case of food, bathroom, bed. I was not in the mood to be sociable.
No, well, by that time it was good. Neither was I by that point, because I'd been working in the magazine non-stop all day as well. Where did we leave it with you the last time you were on the podcast? Because of your you are the owner of an ERFEC, and you had some problems with it where the electrics had gone haywire and you weren't sure if you'd crossed the terminals in the battery or something. Have you fixed it?
Small update. Some idiot packed it up last March and left the isolator on and said idiot was me. Then in trying to jumpstart it, I'd nailed the alternator then found out afterwards that the Volvo I tried to jump it off with runs at a higher voltage than the ERF. So managed to source an alternator for it. Big up Cheshire Truck Parts. They've saved my life with that thing many times. And also big shout out to my friend Jackson. He put the alternator on for me. He's pretty much sick of me calling it with problems with the ERF now, I should think. Mm-hmm. But got that put on and it runs now. And we found out that the original alternator on it, and it was the original alternator, was on its way out anyway. So kind of a blessing in disguise that I killed it now rather than halfway back from a rally on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's not good when something like that happens and you're losing your charge and then you're driving, trying to switch everything off.
Yeah, so
you can't conserve the power. What engines are? Because, the thing with old diesel engines, like really old ones, was they would just keep running forever sort of thing. Without sort of any power going to them, and you would have to kill them pretty much. But it's obviously it's a lot more advanced than that. What is yours? Is it 11 litres?
No, it's a 14. It's the
It's a 14 litre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the big Cam 340. I mean, it probably would keep running of a fashion. It's modern enough that I can turn it off with the key. I don't have to pull the big red lever like you had to do on the older ones.
Good.
And it's going now of a fashion, like it starts, it goes, it charges, all the lights work, and there's, a couple of small gremlins, namely, I've killed the blower motor on the way, and the jake brakes have stopped working, but then this is the third time the jake brakes have stopped working, so that might be an unrelated incident.
Well, there's always like something. Thinking back to being able to switch things off in a key, I remember once up on my mate's farm, a guy used to buy and sell stuff and store things up there, and there was a gritter. And it was an old Foden gritter, like from the 70s, ones with the big round headlights, an S80, I think. I remember my mate getting it started and we're like mucking about with it and everything. But then it came to the time where we had to switch it off and we couldn't switch it off. We didn't know how. We tried everything with it. And eventually we were in like a bit of a panic thinking, are we going to have to leave the thing sitting all night? And eventually I came up with the idea just to stall it, which is what we did. But I think there must have been, if you could take the key out of it and it wouldn't switch off or anything like that, it must have had some sort of kill switch in it somewhere. I don't even know what was in it. It might have been in the 70s, could have been a gardener. you know, things have come a long way. Like that 14 litre, if you think about it, that iconic Cummins 14 litre, that's in 340 form there.
Yeah, originally she was a 340, but then it's been tweaked to 400, which is a nice. It can keep up with modern traffic, so that's handy enough.
Yeah, you've got to think, because I know that you've got to think. I know some fleets would specify the 14 litre, but in a really low state of tune, so it was so completely unstressed. It was so over-engineered for the work that we're doing, it would just plod on forever, which is quite an interesting sort of concept, that, because you don't see big engines wound down that low anymore. I mean, it would be the equivalent to a Scania V8 today being like a 410, just no turbo on it pretty much at all. Because the Cummins went to 525. That was its highest output in standard form, wasn't it, in the UK?
Yeah, although I've heard of one or two going, again, been open up to more.
Oh, yeah, much, much higher than that. But I know, because it appeared, because the Brits had it mainly. You could get it in the Foden 4000, the ERF, EC, before that. Seddon Atkinson had it as well, which was quite a big selling point for Seddon Atkinson. When they had the same cab as DAF, like the CabTech cab, because you could have the Seddon with a 14 litre, but you couldn't have the DAF unless you were on the continent, where DAF did supply it, but in left-hand drive only, which was odd. And I think there were a few Seddons that had the 14 litre with a, what do you call it, the Eurostar cab.
Yeah, the Iveco cab.
Yeah, the Iveco cab, the Strato Cruiser, that came with a Cummins, the 525 in it as well. I was speaking to, who was it, John Murdoch of J&M Murdoch the other week, out seeing their stuff, and he said they had a few ERF 525s back in the day, and he said they were absolute animals. He said they would pull like you wouldn't believe, and you kind of wonder sort of the variations and how these things came out the factory as to how much difference in power there was from one to another. But it's certainly a very well remembered engine from everybody that sort of came across one, because the other thing was 525 meant 5.25 miles to the gallon.
Yes, sir. That's about right. I mean, I've said before that one of mine is actually quite all right on fuel, but then I very rarely have pulled anything heavy with it. You know, the only time it has anything heavy of it is like the, you know, when it's not quite running right, and I've been told the cure for a Cummins is put something heavy on it and bray its nails off until it's right again, which has worked.
Yeah, the old Italian tune-up. Mm. Best thing for them, yeah. So, well, the ERF's working enough again. I mean, you got, there was a show on, another Cut-Based Steven Steam Rally was on, which I did think about going down to, but then I was just knackered, so I didn't. And of course, I regret it, because it looked really good and there were loads of people there. You get any? You now got some events booked in? Because I think we'd spoken about it before. Some of the ones that you're going to. You're going to Kelso?
Yeah, I've sent me forms off for everything, Kelso included, and all the usual ones, like the doing Truckfest Lincoln in 3 weeks' time, which I am rather excited about, because there's a few of us going that I know.
And are you taking the ERF to that?
Yeah, ERF's going to that one. There's actually quite a few of us with the ERF's going to this one. So yeah, there's me going. There's another friend with another two friends I know with an ERF going, with the ERF going. The guy who's got my old green one, he's going as well, and another one in our group, he's got a left hooker 143-500 that he put on the road last August, which it'll be nice to see that thing again.
Yeah, it looks to be insanely big, Truckfest Lincoln. It said capacity up to 3,000 trucks. That's just, I can't get my head around the scale of that. I'm going down with Steve McCann, the photographer, as much as anything to go and get willing candidates for feature material for the magazines going forward, because we've got a lot to do. We've got an MAN special again this summer, so I need to go and turn up a whole squadron of those, and hopefully not all just, I don't want a magazine just full of tractor units either. I want to get a nice variety of different stuff in there. But yeah, Lincoln looks to be Absolutely enormous. Yeah, quite looking forward to it as long as the weather's going to hold out, but you never can tell. It was we had a lot of photo shoots on at the weekend, and I never heard from any of the photographers or the hauliers or anything, and I thought, well, no news is good news. One of the photographers did lose his camera when the wind caught his tripod and blew it up into the air and smashed it. These things are insured, but it was a difficult weekend weather-wise. I saw some of the videos of the trucks and the Severn Bridge and before they shut it, and terrifying. That wind was horrible. You get caught in it.
This past couple of weeks, if it hasn't been raining, it's been windy. I mean, it hasn't been windy, it's raining. I mean, it's... Well, I very nearly had a curtain-related death on Friday, but that's just standard, as it is.
Where were you?
Catterick, just below Scotch Corner.
Oh, yeah.
At an aggregate plant, and then it always seems to be whenever it's windy, I go to big, wide-open yards. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just always the way. And
Are you talking that the curtain actually, like, cracked you in the head with a pole or something? Is that...
No, it nearly lifted me off the ground.
Oh.
So I let go of it, and then it was like perfectly flat, perpendicular to the roof of the trailer. So it's like, okay, well, you just had to wait for the wind to die down and, you know, catch it by surprise.
It's just awful, isn't it? When a curtain's getting blown in the wind like mad, and you just can't get the bloody thing. It's just one of the worst, horrible things, especially when you're opening and shutting the curtains like multiple times in one day. It's exhausting. Somebody needs to invent some sort of system to prevent curtains from blowing up in the air. I remember at one job once, I was like, I give up. I'm sorry, I can't shut my curtains here. It's not possible. Not going to happen. Yeah, I guess it's a good... You're not on curtains all the time anyway, though, are you? You've got a whole variety of trailers.
Yeah, most of the time I'm on curtains. I mean, we have got flatbeds, but then because of the wet weather, we haven't actually been able to get into the places that we do go with the flatbeds. I had the tipper on yesterday, tipped a load of grain near home, and tomorrow I'm taking the tanker down to Harlesden for the first time in time. So.
Oh yeah, is that the chocolate tanker?
Yeah, so yeah, it's just a load and go in the morning. So
that sounds all right. Yeah, that's not keep you going. Oh, well, I've been extremely busy on trucking driver because, well, if you don't know, and if I haven't mentioned it in the previous podcast, probably maybe might have, the editor of the magazine, Andy Stewart, is off. He has got a slip disc and other problems with sciatica, and he's just about effectively paralysed. So he can't really do anything very much, which meant that I was at short notice drafted in back to my old job in the editor's chair. Partway through an issue of the magazine, the May issue, and with the Scania special coming a month after it, which we're working on now, which is an extra 32 pages and everything. So all of a sudden, I had a huge amount of work to do because, as well as doing the editing, I'm also feature writing as well. So, yeah, I've got a phenomenal amount of work to do. Let me tell you, this May issue, please go out and buy it. It's the effort that I put into that magazine is just, it was unbearable. I worked till 4 o'clock in the morning on the Thursday through into the Friday to get it done for deadline. I've got a notepad in front of me here, which is just full of phone numbers and contacts for a lot of feature content stuff going forward. I've got to say, we've got a massive variety of stuff coming your way, but the Scania special really kind of came up fast on us. It's not a good idea. Remember this, folks, in retrospect, if you ever get into magazine publishing, don't publish gigantic special issues in your June issue, because you think when you're setting it all out the previous winter, you think June's halfway through the year. Yeah, but you actually pretty much have to start doing a lot of work on it in February and March when the weather's terrible. No shows have taken place and trucks aren't out. So we had to do a lot of work getting the content together for that. But let me tell you, there is an amazing selection of Scanias in this. We've got V8 drawbar outfits. We've got S-Cab 8x2 rear steer muffet rigids. crane trucks, the whole history of the little... Peter Davies is doing us a history on the little Scanias, like the 81, the 93, up to the sort of modern P and G cab outfits. We've got, what else have we got? Yeah, we've got some good old Arfa. Some of the last, sort of, I would say, the real proper lorry. You know what I mean? Like proper lorry. The Scania sort of R560 top line V8 manual gearbox, pre-Euro 6, so it's got the proper noise off the exhaust. We've got some of those, a couple of 4 series, and we've also got a really, really tidy fleet of Volvos and an incredible-looking fleet of MAN TGX as well. Any of those trucks would have made the cover of the issue, but I wanted to put in some strong opposition as well to the feature, to the magazine sort of feature-wise as well. So... an enormous amount of content going in there, but just I'm working long hours to put it all together. It's quite a big task. But do you have much experience of MANs at all?
I had one when I drove tippers at my previous job, like the old shape TGX. Other than that, not really.
What was it? A tractor unit, like an Arctic?
Yeah, it was a Arctic with a I had a Wilcox bulker on it, running grain with it.
What age was that?
It was the breathless 440.
Whoa.
You know, the one that's always in your way when you're trying to get up the hill.
Yeah, there's not many of them left, but they were extremely common sort of 10 years ago. That was the one that they had all the problems with the engines with. That was like the 10.8 litre engine that they tried to avoid using AdBlue with it, and it didn't really work at the time to get the emissions, and they had to replace a lot of them under warranty, and it gave MAN a bit of a bad reputation for a while. But it was only that one engine, and to be fair to MAN, they stood by it. They replaced them left, right, and centre. So that, what age was that TGX? Was that a manual or an auto?
No, it was an auto. It was a 65. It that one did have AdBlue on it, and
that'll be a Euro 6, as
like, yeah.
That is a later version. It's just that's just the low power output of the bigger engine, I think. Whatever type would spec that.
It was a second hand. It was a ex Yodel unit, as far as I'm aware.
Chips, yeah, do the job.
It did, you know, it did the job. It was, you know, it was light enough for the work. Yeah. You know, quite easily get 29 ton on it, and
exactly.
When you're on the motorway and on the limiter, it goes just as quick as any other wagon on the road.
Yeah, that makes it different when you're picking it up second hand as a bargain. You know, so if sometimes I should have thought that should have come to me in the first place. Like, not many people are going to spec that for a tipper, unless you're down in some of the very flat sort of parts of the world. Yeah, but it was the old 440, not the one that you had. That caused all the problems.
Yeah, my old man had an 11 plate 440, and I do believe that one blew up.
Yeah, most of them kind of did. Drummond's had some of them. I think the Drummond's ones were actually all right. They got them in new, just right at the end of Euro. It was when Euro 5 was going out, and there was a big scramble because everybody was trying to get the last of the Euro 5 trucks because nobody wanted to go to Euro 6 because it was more complex. And of course, what happens a few years down the line, everybody's trying to avoid the Euro 5 trucks because of these bloody UMass zones that have come in everywhere. But I do remember that for a while. People were grabbing the last Euro 5 stock they could from places. And yeah, Drummond's had a couple of the 440 MANs. You encountered them everywhere you went. Pollocks and a rake of them and all. They weren't the best at full weight. Said things have moved on an awful lot just in the last sort of few years, unless you've got a whole load of eco sludge restricting the power of your engine. Sort of generally, things have kind of come on leaps and bounds in terms of torque and performance. Nobody really specs anything under the sort of 13 litre benchmark in tractor units either. Unless it's these sort of the big fleet tanker guys who are trying to get like every last bit of payload. So they would go and get like a DAF CF 440, 450 and run it with a little axle on it to get the absolute maximum they can out of every trip. which of course they'll do their calculations and they'll know what works out. But you don't, I mean, you don't see many. Who does 11? The 11 Renault do them. Renault does the 11 litre in the Range T. They do a few of them. I had one of them on a lightweight axle. Did some tipper work with that a few years ago, and that was all right. I think that was a 460.
Yeah, I was going to say the new sort of like small cab DAFs have got them. I've seen a couple of them running tippers around my way not bought by anyone, like in the yellow demo colours, and I think they're 11 litre only, aren't they?
Yeah, the DAF XD is the MX 11 litre own engine only. I mean, if on an 8-wheeler tipper, perfect engine for that. I would spec an 11 over a 13 in a lot of cases where it's available. Not everybody sort of does it. Like Volvo does it. You can have the 11 or the 13. DAF does it. Merck does it. MAN, you can play some tricks with that MAN. You can get like the small engine, which I think is only like a 9-point-something in the 8-wheeler. And they do actually go, I think it's like 400 or something, and it does actually manage all right to get you some good bit of payload on them. I'm trying to think what else. But yeah, it's DAF XD 11-litre only. If you go to the XF, which is a weird truck now, the new DAF XF, because it's nothing kind of sits exactly the same size as it. It's like right in between the size of most things. It's right in between an FM and an FH. But it's probably, would it be the, I'd say it's a little bit smaller than a Scania R-Cab. Yeah, it kind of sits on its own. The interesting thing with the new DAF XF is it's going to be able to run into London in years to come when the DVS thing keeps increasing its requirements. And eventually, like, your full-size tractor units aren't going to be able to go in there at all, even if they've got all the camera systems in the world. Like, is it 2028 or something?
Yeah, well, they're look that up. They're updating it now, aren't they, the DVS, aren't they?
Yeah, DVS is getting updated again, which we mentioned on the podcast when Joe was on. And it's costing people a lot of money because they've just gone and got a whole load of stuff done to trucks, and now they've got to go back and do it again because the requirements aren't good enough. I think the DAF XF is the sort of biggest, so the only sort of full-size tractor unit that's going to be able to go in to London in a few years' time, so it might become very popular because obviously it's nowhere near the size of the XG, which is enormous, but it's sort of big enough to get by with as an all-rounder. So
yeah, I think the new shape XF, they've got like a vibe of old space cab around it. Like there's a big Tesco yard near me, and obviously it's all Killini units run out of there. And like the XFs with the different air kit on them to run with the Tesco trailers, they kind of look like the old style space cab with the corners rounded off.
Right.
That kind of thing. And it's like, you know, you can tell it's an XF. It just looks like it's melted slightly.
Yeah, you're starting to. Yeah, I see exactly what you mean there. There's a picture of one there, the Killini XF with the sort of squared off air kit on it. And I see what you mean. Yeah, it's funny how trucks start to look all of a sudden kind of look old fashioned as well. Because I found a whole host of photographs dating back from 2011. Hiding in the Truck Stuff Tony inbox for the magazine. Which had been lying dormant for years, but nobody had touched it. And this inbox for the picture post, which we changed to Snapshot a few years ago, had hundreds and hundreds of pictures in it. So I started emailing people that had sent pictures in because they dated back, I mean, 13 years ago. So there were pictures of a guy going to his prom with his dad's Actros at the time, MP3. And that guy's now 30 years old. It's just kind of crazy to think. But it was quite fun getting replies from the people on that. I'm like, hello, I'm just emailing you back 13 years later. And there was one of the guys sent in pictures he had a Stralis, Iveco Stralis 540, which was the earliest top output version of the Stralis. And it had over a million miles on it at the time, no longer around, maybe running abroad. But I actually said to them, FH Bates, I think it was, I said, would they be up for a feature? And they said, yes. So that's from a picture that came out 13 years ago.
Yeah, it's fun looking through like old pictures from a bit. Like it's know, even now I get memories pop up from, I don't know, even like 3 or 4 years ago. And it's like, you know, first doing my first delivery when I first passed my test at the range. And it's like, was that really that long ago?
Right, everything from, like, in my mind, I've got before times and after times. 2019, and then with 2020, the pandemic, everything went to shit. And like 2020, 21, 22, they're all kind of a muddle, a bit of a blur, because I was interviewing the chap that drives an MAN 6, one of the big 640s, this week, and we were talking about the new generation of MAN, and it might have been the first to come into the country. And I said, oh, when did you get that? That must have been like 2022. And he's like, no, that was 2020. And I'm like, what? Seriously? And I look back and I'm like, yeah, that was 2020 that the new generation MAN was unveiled. The Iveco S-Way was 2019. The new generation Scania was 2017. So it's nuts how time moves on with things like that.
I was going to say the new shape Volvo was 2013.
Yeah, the current generation of cab, yes. That, and of course, if you see a version 3 Volvo now, you're like, woo, retro. It just really goes to show you how short a lifespan trucks have. A lot of them really aren't a common sight on our roads for long. So, you know, respect to the truck photographers who are out there capturing these things every day, because you're capturing... what would you say, social, industrial history in the making, as these things go past, because, yeah, they really aren't around for very long. Trucks vanish from our roads because MP3 Apple, I know Mercedes are particularly well-liked for export, so they don't tend to hang around very long, but yeah, MP3 Actros is gone. The Axor, do you remember the Axor? I mean, how long have you been driving for?
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years. The Axon was probably pretty much vanished 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, the only experience I ever had with an Axon was one Saturday morning. I went with my dad to, I think it was like an old DHL yard, and like we went with his colleagues, and I think we delivered like 10 of them from ZDHL yard over to West Pennine at Oldham, the Scania dealer. I think that's the one and only time I've ever been in an Axor.
Yeah, just traded. And the Axor, when it came out, it was based at the time, it was all about simplicity, which obviously has gone out the window with trucks now. They're getting more and more complicated than ever. But my main experience with an Axor was at Pollux. When I used to go in and do a few shifts there, and they had a rented-in Axor, which had a manual gearbox in it, and nobody wanted to drive it. And this is going back, I'll tell you when that was. That was 2014, I think. Yeah, it would have been 2014, so 10 years ago now. And nobody wanted that Axor. And you used to go into Pollux in the morning, and they used to hand you a different set of keys, different truck every day, whatever it was. So you were playing a lottery with things. It was mainly those 440 MANs. They had 450 Actroses. Now, I remember they actually had a few FH500s, and that was quite a big thing to get a 500. You know, like, woohoo, and they were obviously miles ahead of anything else at the time. But I remember nobody would drive the Axor. So the first day I went in, I got the keys to the Axor by chance. And then the next day, I came in and he handed me the keys to something else. And I'm like, can I get the Axor? And he was like, oh, well, what would you want that for? And I was like, because it's a manual. He was like, okay, if you want. So I ended up driving it for pretty much all that week. And then it went away. It was never seen again. And we checked it on the DVLA, and like a year later, it disappeared. So I think that truck must have been, 2-3 years old at the time? And that was it gone. So it had a very short lifespan in the UK before it disappeared.
Yeah, I remember all those ones that we took back to Rochdale way back when. I was still rather young then. I want to guess it was probably, I don't know, 08, 09-ish, and they were all manuals.
Yeah, because they only came, they were only 9-speed manuals. You didn't get them with a splitter on them, so they were a bit, if you were on the hills, You had to go down a full gear, so they weren't the best, and they were only like 400s as well. But if you weren't like heavy, I really liked the thing. I loved the fact it was so simple compared to how complex these big flat floor back trusses were, because you're jumping in and out of them all day as well. So yeah, shout for that. I suppose there'll be a few of them have survived out there, but I don't know how many of them would still be working as such.
Yeah, I'm going to say, can't recall the last time I seen an Axar on the road. If I have, it was a while ago.
Yeah, it's one that has largely vanished. Join the list.
You're listening to the Truck and Driver podcast, brought to you by TomTom. The TomTom Go navigation offers a specific set of truck features. You can set your cargo and truck dimensions for specific routes, so you can drive confidently on suitable roads, making every journey efficient and reliable. Truck yeah.
Speaking of MAN, just going back to that 640 there, we've got one in the next issue of the magazine as well, and going from sort of smaller engines to bigger engines, obviously not all the manufacturers do a bigger sort of size of engine. You've obviously got the two big ones, you've got Scania with the V8, and you've got Volvo with the FH16, which is changing to a 17-litre, but they're not changing the name badges on the truck. Because the FH16 is sort of an iconic brand, as it were. But then your other two options are, you can go for the Mercedes with a 630, or you can go for the MAN with their 15.2-litre, which goes to 640 horsepower. And for the guys that want a bit of extra grunt, we're just starting to see a few of these filtering in a few different places now. This high-output MAN, I think that the price of trucks, the trucks have gone up like 30-40% in the last couple of years, and interest rates have absolutely rocketed as well. So it's just nowhere near as easy to get yourself into some of these sort of premium-class trucks as it was before. So I think the MAN, in comparison to some of its rivals, is looking like sort of increasingly good value. People talk about residuals as well, but you know, you've got to do your calculations and factor in that you're paying less for it in the first place, even if it's worth less at the other end of it. So I'll be quite intrigued to see how many sort of high spec MANs are at Truckfest Lincoln. It's a brand that's nobody ever really has anything that bad to say about them, really. Whenever I talk to the drivers, they all seem to really like them.
Yeah, there's plenty of them about now, and there's just as many nice ones. Like I've been up to Falkirk today, and then on my way down, of course, on the M6, it's pretty much either a Scottish Harley or a Cumbrian Harley, and there's Alan Glendinning, you know, the red and the white ones. They're predominantly MANs, and they're all like, you know, like 520, 580s, and you know, they're all like good specs. It's, you know, it's one of them where you go by and you think, it looks all right, that I'd be quite happy driving that.
Yes, we did a feature on Glendinning's last year, I think it was, and interviewed, and they actually had quite a few Comfort Shift manual ones going back a few years. Curiously enough, I had a guy from Norway who got in touch, who says who's got a manual 2023 TGX, and I'm like, where the hell did you get that? So he actually invited us out to Norway to go and see it. So I would love to go and do that. I'd love to probably continue my conversations with him to see if I can arrange to go and see some of his Harlier friends, and we can do a few jobs when we're out there. But yeah, because to everybody's knowledge, you could no longer get anything with a manual in it anymore, at least not in right-hand drive. So it'll be interesting to see this. They posted a picture of it with the gear stick, with the new MAN dash, and it doesn't seem to have that like controller, like that circular controller you rest your wrist on in the middle of the dash. It didn't seem to have that. I don't know if that's because you've got the lever there that would get in your way. So that was an extremely unusual one to have. Of pop up there. But yeah, if you've got an MAN, we've got a special coming up, so please do feel free to get in touch with the magazine, because we're looking for a nice variety of content on that sort of front. Where are you off to tomorrow? You've got the tanker tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got the tank tomorrow down to Harleston, see if I can, it's been that long since I've been, see if I can remember my way there. I mean, easy enough to get to. I just, you know, one, I hope the weather gets slightly better because I'm royally knackered off with the rain at the minute. And I hope the traffic's not terrible, although, you know, it's wishful thinking, but we can hope.
Yeah, but it's Easter holidays and on at the moment, so the schools are off. So you can be better off during certain times of rush hour. But then again, you've got a lot of holiday traffic on the road as well. You can't win in parts of the country. You really can't at times. You're just certain parts at certain times of day, you're screwed no matter what. And then if you try and do it at night, there's road closures all over the place. What can you do?
Yeah, it's an odd run. You can hardly plan that one. Like I've been first thing on a Friday morning, and I've made it from Manchester down to Park Royal in, you know, just over four, and then done the same exact run the following Sunday afternoon. You know, you'd think Sunday afternoon there's nothing on the run, and it's like taking me 5.5 hours. You do it like 2 weekends after, and you get a straight run down, and it's like, why can't it? Like, it's one of them. Like, you'd think on a Sunday it wouldn't be busy, but it always is.
Yeah, Sundays are a funny day. Yeah, I've got to go down actually. I've got next week. Yeah, because I've got a lot of stuff. I'm going to Greece next week with Volvo to go to the proper launch event of their new range of trucks, which includes, of course, the FH16, the 780, and the Aero models. So we're invited out to Greece, but it's a short trip. I've got to get myself to Gatwick on the Tuesday. We fly out on the Wednesday, and then we fly back in on the Thursday. So it's a kind of flying, it's a short trip. Press trips are usually, people think they're sort of like glamorous, and if the hotels and everything, the hotels are beautiful, but you're hardly in them for any amount of time. So I've got that to go to, and it's kind of, it shows you how I'm kind of, the workload that I've got on with the magazine at the moment, where I'm like, oh, I've got to go and get myself to Gatwick, and I've got to go and do this and that, and then I've got to come back and get back up the road and everything. Where normally you'd be like thinking, oh, fantastic, yeah, I'm looking forward to going catching up with some people I've not seen for a while, got a bit of sunshine, because I've booked myself away for 4 days to Alicante as well, which we'd booked before Andy went off. And now I'm like, oh, I wish I could delay my holiday as well, but I can't. So just shows the sacrifices and the devotion I have for you people for Trucking Driver. Hope you're going to go and buy these magazines when you see them on the shelf, so we can continue to bring you this informative podcast.
Yes, I'll think of you laying on the beach whilst I'm sat in a rainy field looking at steam engines sunk up to the axles in mud.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll probably have to take the laptop with me just in case, but I certainly don't want to be doing much of the way of work on it. We've got all, thankfully, the thing is with the Scania Special, we've got all the trucks together for it. The issue is completely full, and I don't think there's much left to shoot for it. It's just a matter of getting them once together for a lot of it now, which it takes time to do all that. You can't rush these things. Well, you can, but it's so easy to make a mistake in print. And of course, once you've made that mistake, you can't take it back. You can't go and edit it like it is on the internet. There's no edit button once something's been printed and it's on the shelves. But hopefully all the hard work will be worth it, and my boss will be suitably impressed and give me a gigantic bonus. Not that he listens to this podcast anyway.
I was going to say, was that a hint there?
They wouldn't listen to the podcast. No, I was actually, I made a guest appearance on Truck Fest. I've got like the internet radio for lorry drivers now.
When I went to go join the meeting in here, I seen I had an email about that.
Yeah, it's called like HGV Radio.
It's brand
new, a dedicated station for the haulage industry launches. I was actually on that the other week. Chap said he was going to get me to come back on it again. But yeah, HGV1, the station for truckers, new radio station dedicated to the haulage industry, powered by Truckfest. HGVradio.com, listen on the app, online or on your smart speaker, so you can go and check that out once you're finished up here. It's available through the MyTuner app and the hdvradio.com website. So it's basically streaming through the internet. So I haven't listened to it myself. I actually, even though I was on it, I should go and put a note to yourself. Go and put that on tomorrow while you're working with the magazine.
I'll try that tomorrow morning when I'm fighting my way through rush hour trying to get into Manchester.
Well, I said about playlists. What have you got playlist-wise? Like, what music are you playing? And they were like, yeah, we're seeing what fits, see what people want to hear and everything. And I was like, yeah, well, truck drivers listen to a broad sort of mix of stuff. I was like, get some good country music on there, some good stuff, you know. I'll need to go and tell him to get the Franklin County Trucking Company on there, because I bet he's not had any of that on there yet.
No, I was going to say, when you're on a job like ours, music is your best friend. There's some days in my car where it's like a frigging karaoke bar.
Oh, yeah, that's why I would object more than anything else to having one of these cameras in the cab that watches you. Yeah, me getting right into singing a bit of Cher or, you know, Dolly Parton or something. That's not for anybody else to be seeing, thank you very much. I'd be curious to see what kind of music they've got on that. I need to go and blag my way on to getting like a radio show on that, so I can go and play all my favourite music on it. That would be good fun. Yeah, it'd be like Smashy and Nicey on the old Harry Enfield sketch show.
Yes, it is the 1 PM. It is time for the country hour with Dougie.
Yes, and then go and blow everybody's doors off with a bit of Franklin County. Yes, sounds like a great idea to me. Yeah, well. It is getting on. I'm going to let you get off and because you've got an early start in the morning. Hope everybody out there is doing all right. Thank you for all the kind words and comments and messages for the podcast, especially with a lot of kind comments directed towards Chris Madison and his comeback on the podcast, which he's very thankful for. He'll be back on again soon. And I shall catch up with you guys again soon. Cool. Thanks very much, Niall.
Aye, no bother. I shall see you again later, or if not, I'll see you at Lincoln.
Yes, indeed. Cheers.
All right, see you after.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truck and Driver podcast, proudly sponsored by TomTom. As a special thanks to our listeners for trucking through the holiday season, we're giving away 1 month free of TomTom Go Navigation Truck. Simply download the Go Navigation app and use the code TRUCKYEAH. That's TRUCKYEAH. When subscribing. Safe travels, folks.